Hi, and welcome to And Another Thing podcast, part of Pandrol's And Original Content series. This episode, we're picking up again with our welding experts who will be taking a look at some of the challenges faced by welding teams in South America and Europe, as well as customer satisfaction and Pandrol Connect. So let's jump straight back in with the team.
That's really interesting what you're saying, guys, about the high speed. And obviously, it's not such a big impact for Australia or really most parts of Southeast Asia just yet, but it's something that we're definitely keeping an eye on. One thing that we do see, though, particularly in this region, is we have such a various number of different types of rail, you know, different chemistries, different sizes, and dealing with the wear that comes with, you know, the ages of some of the networks. Do you see the same challenges for flexibility in Europe and North America? Because I know that one of the things that we try to provide for our region is multiple sizes of kicks and chemistries to suit each individual railway, which can sometimes be a challenge. It also means that we can provide our customer exactly what they need when they need it.
Yeah, Tim, yeah, we're constantly working with the rail companies, with the end clients, on what they want. There are lots of studies going on within the industries. Do we go for a harder rail or do we go for a softer rail? And we're constantly having these questions. So flexibility for us is key, and we're always working with the rail manufacturers. Dave, I would imagine it's something similar in North America.
Yes, it is, Chris. We have similar issues. You know, every railroad is testing, do they want to hire head hardened rail, which means that we have to come up with a product that can hold up to the stiffer rails, or do they want to go more ductile so it can flex and move? Then we have to go to our standard kits. So yes, we're very similar in the North America, working with the railroads on their testing and being a partner with them to show them we can make any product that they need if they so move to using different rails. Again, just like Tim was talking about, different size rails. Our two main sizes in North America is 115 and 136. So we can build a bunch of kits to satisfy our customers' needs and keep the railroads moving.
And for France, it was also the case during the last years. But now SNCF makes some tests and some studies, and they decided to go to the softer rails. So now changing the rail by the 260 grade to the 200 grades, because they see by grinding the rails, they have a better results on the finished railed end rails.
Frederick, that's really interesting, because the UK is having a different approach to that. We're going for a harder rail, but it was the conversation. It was, do we go harder or do we go softer? So that's really interesting that France have gone one way and the UK has gone another, probably all with very similar results. More grinding, more maintenance through grinding operations will prolong the life of the rail. But interesting to see the results of both countries in years to come.
Maybe Tim, with for Pilbara or Karratha, with a very high temperature.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely something that we can say, you know, we have to make sure that we're managing the welding process, you know, to meet the stress-free temperature of the track. So we have to make sure that the work is planned around the times when the weather isn't so severe. So, you know, in the middle of the day, definitely, and, you know, in the winters, which can still be quite cold in the middle of the night, it's to get the right balance to meet that stress-free temperature, which in Australia is quite high compared to some of the other places in the world. Yeah, I think one other challenge that we have, and we've got people from all corners of the globe on this call, is that the extremes of weather have different impacts for different networks. And we definitely see that in the Asian region, where we're going from, you know, the southern hemisphere into the northern hemisphere through the equator. And it'd be interesting to know what sort of impact that has, particularly in the UK or North America, where it can be, you know, quite cold or quite hot, the same as it is here in the APAC region.
Yeah, Tim, I would say Northern Europe has very challenging conditions with weather. One minute it can be bright and sunny, the next minute it can be snow and hail, and then obviously wet as well. So challenges with weather just for actually welding on track is extreme at points. And keeping an eye on the stress-free temperature is difficult for the networks. Absolutely. Dave, what do you struggle with mainly?
In North America here, we do struggle with the cold to heat. You get into Canada, there'll be days when they can't weld because it's just too cold. Pretty much the month of January for them, we don't do much welding. The cold does affect the weld. It also affects the people out there working. We have to keep in constant contact with those people because in Canada, you might warm up to 20 below zero for a week, and we just can't have people out working in that climate. It does affect the rails, and there's all kinds of issues that come up with the steel. Now you get down into southern part of United States where in the morning it can be 10 degrees out, but by noon it can be 80 degrees and that rail is moving and it's creating some issues for the people in the field, and it's also creating issues with the weld as that steel moves into the weld cavity. Same issue down in Mexico, the rail moving and people trying to keep it straight. And just another added thing, weather does affect how trains move. I'll just touch on thermal misalignments. A train cannot go over a thermal misalignment. They can cross a broken rail, but they cannot get through a thermal misalignment. I don't know if the rest of you have that issue, but that's a big deal all across our networks in North America.
Yeah, definitely thermal expansion is a big risk for us. And we find that most networks, or nearly all networks, particularly in Australia, and it's becoming more prevalent, is to use the VERS machine to test for the stress-free temperature to ensure that those buckles don't occur. Because as you say, the rail break, a train can pass, but a buckled rail can stop the network. So we find that railways are becoming more and more in tune with the management of their stress-free temperatures. And that means, you know, a lot of VERS testing, but also managing their welding programs to ensure that the rail remains at that perfect temperature.
Yeah, Tim, it was interesting what you were saying about VERS testing. We obviously use that a lot over in the UK. We're also running some projects with the SFT live monitoring, you know, in various places across Europe with multi-sensors to monitor that. I think there's a big market for traceability at the moment, which also includes aluminothermic welding. It's certainly been apparent in the years go by that the networks are wanting more traceability with welds, with consumables, with who's actually casting the weld. So we've obviously got now Pandrel Connect. You know, how are you guys finding traceability in your markets?
Yeah, I think definitely it's one thing that we're seeing. And what we'd like to help to support is the customers that are collecting that data, because some do it quite well and some are still in the infancy. And I think we can, as a provider of materials, really help drive that data collection and then make it valuable for them to actually pull some information rather than just storing data. Maybe Fred could tell us a little bit more about the Pandrel Connect app and how that works.
It is interesting in the discussion we have a good overview of the welding operation around the globe with your experience, guys. And a key point also is to record the welding operation. This is for traceability. And we talk about Pandrel Connect. Pandrel Connect is a mobile app designed to support aluminothermic welders through the weld process. It captures live data about the weld, save time, and improve the traceability of welds for contractor and rail network operations. Mainly, Pandrel Connect consists of three modules. The first one is a mobile version for welders to record on-site data and for welding controllers to review data. Second one is an online monitoring app to review weld information from the office. And the last one is online administration tool to apply setting to local standards. It is designed to record data before, during, and after the welding. It is compatible with all welding kit suppliers. Consumables can be scanned using QR code to record the specific items used on site.
Fred, you said that the data is transferred, but once it's transferred, where is the data stored and how can it be accessed?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tim. Yeah, so all the data from the app is stored in the cloud for easy sharing for the different people, from the welders to the controllers and the end user, network or contractors.
Speaking from experience, we're trialing this in the UK and it works really well from the user on site, on the night, inputting the data on the application, then seeing the data go in real time to their welding manager sat in the office, as Frederick's just explained. It then can be reviewed by network operators, you know, going forward. It's a very user-friendly application which saves time.
Yes, that's right. And especially it increases the welding traceability by making data transparent, easily identify the detecting welds and data anomalies. You may have seen this, Tim, and Chris also. A good point for the Hearth is that Pendrel Connect reduces the carbon footprint by drastically cuts down paperwork while saving users' time. And just for your information, this app is available on Google Play or Apple Store.
I think a couple of the key benefits about Pendrel Connect, you know, obviously the traceability, but what we're looking at is more data capture. So the end user are not just recording where, when, the specific parameters, but they can also add photos or voice messages into this particular file, which gives a tremendous amount more of information. So, for instance, if the access is bad or the track conditions are poor, even the weather maybe, all this can be tagged all onto this singular weld, which at the moment isn't really recorded. But with our solution, it is.
So, Dave, one of the things that we're seeing here in this market, obviously with very heavy rails for the heavy haul industry, but also for rails that are seeing a lot of wear, is that the customer wants to extend the life of the rail as much as possible. So there's often defects in the head of the rail that would cause the rail to be condemned or the rail to be changed earlier than the wear would indicate. I know that headwash repair has been quite successful in North America. Would you be able to give us some information about that and just let me know about your experiences in North America with headwash repair?
Yes, Tim. Yes, in North America, same as what you're dealing with. They want to extend the life of the rail as long as possible. That's why Pendrel has come up with a product that's called, it's headwash repair. Briefly, I'll go into the benefits of it, and we have used it quite a bit in North America with a lot of success. And as it says in the name, head wash repair, it's repairing the ball of the rail, which leaves the web and the base intact. You grind out about 2 inches of the ball in width, and then down, leave a quarter inch of the ball in place, and you cast a new ball. This is a huge time saving, as we talked earlier in our podcast here about short track times, hard to get track time. This weld cuts down on the amount of track time you would need. It also saves a railroad money by just replacing the ball of the rail instead of getting a plug rail and then doing two welds. And the biggest benefit of it is the wear and tear on our people, that they don't have to do two welds. They just do one. And the most effective way to do this in North America is to follow behind what we call a DCAR, which is a rail detector. It runs over ultrasonically and finds defects in the rail. If you follow behind this car, it already has track time. So you're not getting more track time. You just go behind, do the repair, do the weld, and then take this out of the system so it never hits the system as what we call in North America, FRA, which is Federal Railroad Association. It's called FRA defect. And railroads, if they leave them in track too long, they get fined for this. So it's been very successful in North America and accepted by all the railroads. It's just more implementation and educating of the value of this process. I'm not familiar, but as much in the European markets of how this is working. Chris, do you use the headwash repair much?
Yeah, we do. And it's becoming bigger every year. I think regarding head wash repair, it's educating the track maintenance team that this is an effective method. I know that some of the network managers and operations managers have been a little bit reluctant to use this in the past, but we are seeing an increase year on year with this product because it saves time in the amount of defects you can actually repair in a shift is quite a lot, and it's a permanent repair as well.
And it is also important to notice, as you mentioned, guys, that we can repair rail defects. But furthermore, what it is important, and this is mainly used in France for, is to repair the defects we have on the running surface of flash butt welding, because mainly we have plenty squat defects. So there is a dip on the flash butt weld, and we can repair it with the head wash repair.
That's an interesting subject. So although we think and we know that flash butt welding is more costly, Frederick, are you saying that the flash butt welding overall generates a lot of defects?
We have, yes, on track. Yeah, there is a thousand and thousand flash butt weld to repair. At the beginning, we developed this process for SNCF to repair some rail defects, but mainly now all the head wash repair are used for flash butt welding reparation.
Thanks, guys. We've discussed quite a few new products and innovations, and I know Pandrol is heavily involved in training operators. How have you managed to introduce all of these new products, particularly in light of the global pandemic and associated travel restrictions?
Yeah, Jamie, that's a really good question. And what we find is obviously having a team that's close to the customer by having a regionalised technical support team, we're able to make sure that we can serve our customers' needs, even where the travel restrictions are quite strict. I know that we've got a team here in Asia Pacific that's spread across multiple countries, and our customers really appreciate having that close contact. But even where we're not able to be right next to the customer physically, I know that Chris has done some great work with some virtual training earlier on.
Yeah, so the pandemic really hit us hard for how we would normally conduct the training event. There was a project in Mongolia, and it was just as the coronavirus pandemic really kicked in and everyone shut the borders, throughout the world. So it made travel impossible. What would normally be a very hands-on training experience, that obviously wasn't possible. So we had to think outside the box and really come up with something that we've not done before. And given the conditions and the product and the training that we normally do, it was a big challenge for us. But we designed a online training package which was tailored to this particular project. We set up with the end client webcams, TVs, and in line with the training packages and videos that we demonstrated, we also did physical demonstrations. Then we had large TVs where we could watch them do exactly what we've just been showing them in practice. So it was difficult. We also had a translator on site as well because of the language barrier again, which was very difficult as well. But the end result was fantastic. This hadn't been done before. It was definitely think on your feet for every step of the way, but we managed it and the results were very good. We're due to actually go over to Mongolia now to actually just finalise the last couple of phases of this project, but it worked very well.
Now, I think probably the other interesting thing that's come from this is the fact that we've been able to really strengthen our local Pandrol training academies. The headquarter version in France underwent a big renovation in the last 12 months. Thibaut, have you got anything you can tell us about that?
We have now a new Pandrol training academy in France, so in the headquarter in Rennes. And now we have exactly the same system which is used in UK, and the same system you have now in Australia. And it's very easy now to make some virtual training and also to share the information between the different entities or also between the different customers we can have. So it's a very good improvement by doing this kind of video and also, I will say, some small video to explain how we can make a printing or how we can have to set the mold on the rail. So yes, it's very full.
Thanks, everyone. I think we've shared some great insight on the global challenges for welding. And thanks to our audience for listening. If you would like any more information or have any questions on what our team have discussed today, please get in touch by emailing info@pandrel.com. Look out for our next episode and don't forget to subscribe to stay updated. Bye for now.